Hey everybody, for those out there that do not know me, my name is Alicia and I'm a special events professional. I first got my feet started in the industry, working as a meeting and catering coordinator at a prestigious law firm to now working as a special events professional at a nationally accredited college. Outside of my professional experiences, I do love and enjoy the events industry, and why not start a business doing it and, you know, putting my ideas and stuff out there to the world. I teach DIY engaged couples and individuals how to plan and design their wedding or event like a pro, all, you know, affordable ways, because I do a lot of things on a budget, do create a lot of creative things on a budget. So why not share that with you? So I am going to flip my screen around just so I won't be distracted, but we are going to be moving into day two of the contingency series, just in case, you know, like, your catering falls through. We covered that topic yesterday. So today we're going to cover a contingency plan for your venue. So I'm going to flip my camera around and all you're going to just see is the contingency in the venue on your screen. So if your venue by chance happens to fall through, your venue or your location happens to fall through, you want to already in the planning process, and I tell people this all the time, and I teach this too, that when you set the date and you got this idea in mind, like I'm going to have this wedding, I'm going to have this event, you want to make sure that you have two plans. You have the original plan and you have the backup plan, because a lot of people don't make the backup plan and they just put all their eggs in the basket for their original plan. And when the original plan falls through, then they're like, oh my gosh, now they're, you know, trying to scramble around, trying to find a new venue, a new caterer, you know, a new event decorator. You know, they're trying to do this all on the fly, all on the last minute, when they could just be put into the, you know, put time out, have time put out to a side, you know, to do it, you know, to make the original plan with the backup plan. But every plan should always have another backup plan just in case. Don't just, okay, well, everything's looking good so far, and then, you know, a month before, you know, the actual date, something happens with your venue or the caterer backs out, they overbooked, you know, stuff like that. And now you don't have to stress out or worry, because you already put the time aside months ago or a year ago with these to have your backup plan ready. So you already have a backup venue. You already have a backup caterer. And I'm not saying leave deposits or let them know that they're going to be a backup plan. Never do that. Never, ever, ever let somebody know that they're going to be a second option. Just have it. All I'm saying is just pretty much have the venue or the whatever it is that you need already written down with the business name and a phone number. So that way you don't have to spend more time trying to find this stuff or research and stuff like that, because the research was already done. And you don't have to, you know, your stress levels are actually decreased. You will be upset or mad because the original plan is starting to fall apart a little, but you're able to still put the pieces back to the puzzle with your backup plan. Like, okay, so the caterer overbooked. Okay, you know, we're all human or whatever the error was. Let me go ahead and call the second person. Hey, you know, I'm just calling. I know it's last minute. Do you have such and such date open? And this is the type of menu that I'm looking for. Bam. You don't never say, you know, you don't have to give an actual reason why you're having something. If you say that you're having a gathering or an event, you know, and if they're trying to figure out what kind of event you're having, just keep saying like event, 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 because if they're trying to really hear if you're saying wedding, because then they know wedding means more money, okay, versus just having like a party or just a regular old get together. When vendors hear wedding, the price will tremendously increased. Statistics show that the average American wedding costs $30,000. And if you don't have $30,000, then why would you really spend $30,000 on one day when you can, you know, break that up, do some half for your wedding and the other half for like the honeymoon? Maybe you guys are planning on buying a house, or, you know, that money, you don't have to spend $30K for a wedding. But we're not discussing that today. We'll discuss that possibly later on in the series. So today we're going to solely be talking about the venue. If your venue falls through, this is the plan that you can have. So you have to look at the area that you're in, the area that you plan on having your wedding in, and already book the actual venue or location that you want. So then that way, if, and or hopefully not, but if in case the venue does fall through, okay, let me call this second place on my list. Let me call the third place on my list, and so on and so forth. So you want to have a combination of actual indoor venues, maybe some outdoor venues if you're out, you know, you're open to that, and just different places that you can literally transform into what you want it to be for your wedding or event. Always have a list on hand to make sure and write down everything that you are going to need for your wedding or event. So say, for instance, that you obviously need multiple bathrooms. And I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. Multiple bathrooms. You're going to need elevators. You're going to need chairs and tables to come included. And if so, how much is it extra? Or some places may not even charge extra for that at all. How big is the space? Can it accommodate X, Y, Z, you know, all my guests? What else? Is there a kitchen on site? Do I have use of the kitchen? You know, can I bring in outside food? You know, this is all of stuff that you really need to make a list for. Really sit down and visualize what everything you need for your venue, what you're going to need from your venue. Okay, if you're going to need like a bridal suite and all this extra stuff, then that needs to be written down underneath the venue category and on your list. Another thing that you may also want to look into is what your venue is, if they have outdoor space. If you really want like the guests to move indoors and outdoors, you know, have that free range to just move freely without being just stuck in one spot, that's something else that you need to put down on your list. If you want your venue to have scenic views, that's something else that you have to put down on your list. So you really should sit down and really think about what you need from this venue or location. And if you don't have too many other places in your area outside of your original plan, then look at transforming your backyard or maybe a family or friend's backyard. Maybe look at some different pavilions or farms, different open spaces like gardens and stuff like that, community gardens or community places. Or you can also look at different colleges and universities because they do act as a venue space for weddings and events. You just have to call and ask. But you can definitely find a place, maybe a little bit more, hopefully a little bit cheaper than what you are originally paying for, that will, you know, take you last minute. All you have to do is just transform it, you know, put up some decorations and poof, voila. But you definitely need to sit down and see what's all required, what you are really needing for your venue. And that way, if the first one falls through, bam, I could just move down on my list to see who's able to accommodate me, who's available at the date and the time. And now I can let my guests know the new location. Okay. Again, I'm about to circle back around to the multiple bathrooms. And I did a podcast episode actually on this, but I'll pull some points from it just so you guys know. Whenever you have a gathering at a location, bathrooms are never really considered okay? Bathrooms really aren't considered because it's like, okay, long as there is a bathroom on hand, why do I really need to look any further? Why do I really need to, why is it a big deal? It is a big deal because you don't want lines formed outside of the bathroom. You don't want it to be a single bathroom. You have all these guests, okay? You have, like, let's just say 120 guests. And the closest bathroom to the actual room, or that's, you know, closest to what's going on, it's a single bathroom, no stalls. And now there's a line formed and people are getting agitated and irritated because they have to use the bathroom. And there's only, you know, the line's not moving because, you know, there's somebody in the bathroom that's taking much longer than they need. Then, you know, people have to go to the bathroom. So that's definitely something that you should definitely put down in your notes on your list, is how many bathrooms are there on site? How many bathrooms are within close proximity to where my wedding or event will be at? And is it also handicap accessible? Because again, a lot of people don't think about the bathroom. A lot of people don't really, that's not part of their vision, is the bathroom, when it really should be. Because you don't want a good day, everything's going good until everybody all at once has to use the bathroom and there's a line formed, and you know, you just don't want people's memory to be good then turn into bad because of lack of bathrooms on site and somebody really has to go, so somebody's trying to cut the line. You know, you don't want the good day to just turn into a drama filled day because somebody really had to go to the bathroom instead of them memorizing or being, you know, the memory in their mind is being positive. Oh, the food was amazing. The event was so nice. The tables were beautifully decorated. I got to catch up with a whole bunch of people, but then we all had to go to the bathroom at once. And there's only one bathroom that we saw. There's no other bathrooms anywhere. This is the only one. So that's definitely needs to be put into your venue needs. I need more bathrooms. I need at least one bathroom to be handicap accessible. Okay. And also with the venue, you want to make sure that it has you need to also ask the venue about parking. Is the parking on the location, or do my guests have to park on the street, or do my guests have to park at a nearby parking lot or parking garage and then walk over? Another thing that people don't really think about is elevators and stuff like that. If you're inviting older people, they really don't want to go up the stairs, and some of them may not even be physically able to go up the stairs. So having some sort of ramp, or preferably a elevator on site, is definitely something that needs to be put into your, on your list for venues. Something else that needs to be considered is lighting. Is it like a nice natural light? Do you need to outsource some lighting? Is it too dim in there? You know, will people be able to see? So that's something else that you need to be able to put on your list and ask the venue. And the venue may get a little irritated, like, okay, why are they asking all these tedious questions, or why are they asking all of this? But they don't really understand that this is what goes into booking. This is what goes into gaining business, is the little small stuff, okay? And then another thing that you really need to pay attention to when you do go and view these venues, and don't just view your priority venue, view all the venues on your list and make notes and stuff like that, and then come up with ideas afterwards on how you can fix these little problems with, you know, or maybe you can talk with the venue about fixing these little problems before your event, especially if you're considering them. And also something to put into consideration too, just because a venue is affordable, but if it's outdated, do you really want to invest your money? Because if they still have wood paneling up, old curtains that you could clearly tell are old, and you know the cleanliness isn't really up to par, why would you give them your money if they can't even take care of the simple small stuff as updating and cleaning? And but pretty much you're just focused on having somewhere to host your wedding or event. So that little stuff like that really, really, really does go into creating a positive memory amongst your guests. Because if you had host your wedding or event at a outdated place, no matter how good the food is, no matter how nice the decorations are, you try to make, you know, something good out of nothing, people are going to be sitting down talking and looking around. They're going to say, oh my gosh, how old is this place? Like, they still got wood panelings. Oh my goodness, look at those curtains over there. They're so dusty. And you know, stuff like that. And then the ceiling too. The ceiling, ceiling, ceiling. Always look at the ceiling, because you don't want, you know, the whole room to be beautifully decorated and then people look up and see like water stains or something crazy hanging from the ceiling, you know. And you just really want to invest your money in a good location, a location that can be transformed, a location that serves and meets the needs of your wedding or event. But people really do look and pay attention to stuff like that. The cleanliness, the update, if it's updated, the floor, the bathroom, and hopefully it's a decent sized bathroom instead of like older buildings normally have like smaller stuff, because back then they didn't really, I guess they didn't really think of size back then, because the college that I work at, if you go into certain buildings, the bathrooms are small. The elevators are small. So you can tell that it's an older building just because of the art of the, you know, the design of it. So that's why I'm pointing out these different stuff. But older buildings are not necessarily a bad thing, because, okay, and older buildings are not necessarily a bad thing because of the architectural design. Like some woodwork, you're not going to find in newer buildings. So stuff like that matters as well, because when people come in, they're going to look all around from the ceiling to the floor just to take in the environment. So once they see like it's an older building, but the amazing architectural designs of the, you know, of the ceiling or the columns or the woodwork, you know, something in that room is grabbing their attention, that's also a good thing as well too. And that's something that if you are a person that is really not into decorating and stuff like that, maybe you should look or lean more towards an older building, but make sure it's not too old, you know. Make sure it has some sort of value to it. And when I mean by value, I mean like the architectural design, something, some sort of unique place on the property that's like, oh my gosh, can I please have my, you know, is my guest able to move around to see the different, you know, locations and stuff like that? Because it's definitely, especially if they passed by it before, they, you know, they've been to that site before, but they've been at a different location, you know, a lot of this stuff matters, because it can be like a good thing or a positive thing, but you really want to make sure that's all on your list. Like really sit down and think long and hard about what you need for your venue, because the venue is obviously one of the key major important things to this whole planning process. Because once you secure a venue, then you can move forward really into, you know, buying decorations, finding professional, like entertainment professional, music professionals, your catering, you start buying your attire, stuff like that. So once you secure this venue, then everything else, the wheels will start really moving forward. But you also want to make sure that you're investing your money in the right venue. You don't want to just, oh, I did, this place is cheap. You know, don't have that type of mentality, because I always tell people in any podcast episode or anytime that you hear me speak, if you're going to bring people out, make it worth their time. Don't just have your budget in mind. Like, it's good to keep your budget in mind, but don't be trying to oh, they don't care, or what's another excuse? They don't care. They're not going to really say anything, you know. No, people, if you're calling people out and you're inviting people out, make it worth their time. Make it as memorable as you could possibly be in a positive way. Make it so the next time that they hear that such and such is having a wedding or event, not another wedding, but if they're having something else, say that you're having something else in the future, they're going to be like, okay, so when is it? I had such a great time at your last event. I can't wait for this next one, because, you know, the food was so good. The location was amazing, breathtaking. I took a lot of pictures, you know, stuff like that matters. So have a positive mindset when you are choosing and planning, I should say, a wedding or event. Make it worth your guests' time, regardless of the fact how small your budget is, how big your budget is. Stretch those dollars, make it a unique experience, but a positive one. So I hope that you learned a lot today from this contingency series, day 2 for venues. Catch me tomorrow at day 3. I'm not going to disclose what I'll be talking about then, but it's something that you don't want to miss. So again, check me out tomorrow. Click the link in the bio. I got a whole bunch of goodies in there for you, and I will see you all tomorrow.